I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In this, the first week of Oprah's new own television network, we speak with a woman who's been there, done that. Billionaire Sheila Johnson helped launch a cable channel when she co-founded BET, Black Entertainment Television. We'll talk with her about all that in just a couple of minutes. But first, we want to talk more about a key person in the history of a country as important to U.S. interests as any, Pakistan. An assassination there this week of a controversial provincial governor has put the country back in the headlines and makes the struggling ruling government even less stable. The provincial governor who was murdered had very publicly stood up against Pakistan's harsh anti-blasphemy laws. Now, hundreds of Pakistan's top clerics have signed a statement condoning the killing, and the alleged assassin was showered with rose petals by supporters on his way into court. One writer says the assassination could be the most consequential political shock there since the murder of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. Tens of thousands of Pakistanis used to shout that slogan, "Long live Bhutto," as Ms. Bhutto worked her way as the first woman prime minister of a majority Muslim country. In fact, the two-time prime minister of Pakistan did not live long. She was killed by assassins in 2007, shortly after her return from exile, to challenge again the political, religious, and military forces that rule Pakistan. Bhutto is also the title of a documentary from director Dwayne Bauman and from Mark Siegel. He's a former deputy assistant to President Jimmy Carter and co-author with Benazir Bhutto of the book Reconciliation, Islam, Democracy, and the West. The film is making its way around the U.S. now. Now, I spoke with Mr. Bauman and Mr. Siegel just last month, just before the latest turmoil, and I asked Mr. Siegel why it was important to document the Bhutto legacy.
The film actually started very, very shortly after Benazir's murder, when Dwayne came to me and suggested that this was a great historical story and it should be preserved. At that point, I was still pretty raw from the assassination, and we postponed, but I realized that he was right, that this was a story that needed to be told, and we began working on it very shortly thereafter.
You know, the film does two interesting things. It, on the one hand, it does give you a kind of a short course in the history of Pakistan. It also gives you a very personal view of one of the world's most recognizable figures, and I was just interested in how you... And perhaps, Mr. Bauman, you want to take this question, the balance between the public story and the private person. I mean, in this country, that's become customary. But around the world, it is not always the done thing to take a personal look at our leaders doing whatever, you know, they do. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm just interested in how you balance that out.
And, you're absolutely right. And to me, our audience was obviously trying to enlighten and inform and educate a Western audience and really try to have what I call a first conversation about our relationship with Pakistan and theirs with ours. And what I concluded as I was beginning to put this film together was you cannot tell the story of Pakistan without telling the story of the Bhuttos and the incredible courage, strength of the family and of Benazir as an individual is such a unique and compelling story of a woman who was handed a mantle she didn't seek, and what she did with that.
And I was part of her professional life, but also her personal life, because we were very, very close friends. And I wanted this film to show not the icon, not the saint, but the real person, her strengths, her weaknesses, the pain she suffered, and her extraordinary courage and commitment to her people.
We don't have enough time to go through the whole history here, but it is important to point that she was born into a political family. Her father was one of the, you know, early leaders of Pakistan. He was also well known in the West as a pro-democracy leader, but he was killed after a military coup there. And unusually, as the oldest daughter, not the oldest son, but the oldest child, she was kind of groomed for leadership. Do you think that would be a fair term?
Zulfikar Ali Bhutto was extraordinary. And the point you made about him selecting his oldest child, who happened to be a woman and not his oldest oldest son, is really extraordinary. He understood that that the leadership of the party would, under difficult conditions, would have to be very carefully and professionally managed, and he picked the best person for that, and it was a woman. Very unusual in the Muslim world.
I do think, though, it has to be said that the Bhuttos are very controversial figures in the West as well as in Pakistan. Now, for example, in stories that have been written about the film, for example, the message boards in both papers that have previously reviewed the film have attracted a lot of people, you know, saying they were as corrupt as anybody ever in Pakistani politics. And so they have their detractors as well as, of course, their supporters, including a member of the family. For example, you interview Fatima Bhutto, Benazir's estranged niece. Her father was Ms. Bhutto's brother. And here's an exchange I want to play, a short clip from the film, where you'll hear Benazir Bhutto's voice in this as well.
She was a figurehead, because power was the end goal. When you look at Benazir Bhutto's governments and Benazir Bhutto's policies, that's the only thing that is constant.
Of course I had the reins of power. I was prime minister.
It was a more aggressive government than the first. Having lost power once before, having been denied her right to rule, Benazir did not take the same chances a second time. The corruption was more extensive, and it was grander.
Well, so Dwayne Bauman, what about that?
Yeah, I thought that it was absolutely imperative that we hear from all sides. And, you know, for every point in this film, I wanted to make a point that there was a counterpoint, and then I wanted to leave it to the audience to be able to decide for themselves. And so I think it was extremely important that we talk about the facts and allow everybody else to voice what they believe the root of the controversy might be. But the facts are that Benazir and her husband and her administration were accused of corruption, and they paid a great price for what she tried to accomplish as the first woman to be elected the head of the Pakistani government.
We didn't want to produce hagiography. We didn't want to produce something that would be dismissed. We wanted something that would be balanced and that would be legitimate and that would be historically sustained.
There are those, though, Mark, critics who have said that this film is hagiography. I mean, it is a little – I mean, every documentary has a point of view, okay? But it is a bit unusual to have someone who's both a close friend and the producer of the documentary, and you are very prominent in the film. And so I do want to ask, at the end of the day, do you really think you took that critical step back?
I think it did. You know, when we go to Pakistan, I'm accused by people who are close to Benazir of producing something that was very critical of her. And then others say it's hagiography, and then we try to make her a saint. She wasn't a saint. She was a woman, an extraordinary woman, and that's the kind of credibility we were looking for.
How did you get to know her, Mark? How did you get to be such close friends with her?
We had a very close mutual friend, Peter Galbraith. In 1984, Peter asked my wife, Judy, and myself to have a small dinner party in Washington for her, and that was the first time we met her, and we grew very close. I became her speechwriter, took care of her affairs, and did her autobiography with her, and then the final book. I miss her personally, but I think the world misses what she could have been. You know, we'll never know. It's John Kennedy's second term. It's all the music that Gershwin didn't live to write. I think there was greatness that we had not seen in this woman that was cut down with her.
To that end, I'll just play one more short clip from the film, from an interview with her daughter, Bakhtawar, where she talks about the last time she saw her mother.
You know, it was 1 month before my 18th birthday, so I saw her the night before she was going to leave, and she said, I want to wish you happy birthday in advance. And I said, don't wish me in advance, wish me in January. And she said, you know, I'm wishing you now. And after she was gone, I found this necklace in her drawer, said happy 18th birthday. So I feel like she was prepared.
It is worth remembering she's a mother as well and a wife, as well as a head of state. Mark, you're still feeling the emotion as we're sitting here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
She was a wonderful mother. She knew the dangers that was ahead of her. You know, it was Pakistan first, before her family, before herself. She made the choice and she died for her principles.
Mark Siegel is the producer of the new film Bhutto. Director Dwayne Bauman is with us also. The film is moving city by city across the country. Mark Siegel was with us from Washington. Dwayne Bauman was with us from Chicago. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having us.